This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, 15 after 11 o'clock in Power Perspective. We're talking now women in digital as part of our Women's Day conversations. And we are joined now on the line by the founder of See More Media, Claudine Moore, who has announced the launch of the second edition of the Future is Female mentorship program. And this program is aimed at increasing the number of early stage African tech female founded firms, as well as one of the lucky South African females, in fact, who are part of this program. Part of this mentorship program is also joining us now on the line. So we chat a bit about them, about the intentions of the program, the caliber of people, in fact, from all over the continent who've been selected to participate, a very illustrious list of women on the continent who are doing fascinating things, amazing things within the digital space. And I'm joined now on the line by the founder, Claudine Moore of See More Media, as well as Noxolo Fani, who is the CEO at PL Construction, as well as the chairperson at Anchor Lights Foundation, and is also the founder of Platform Excel. And Noxolo will tell us a bit about the work that they do. But let's start with you, Claudine. Welcome to Power Perspective. Good to have you with us.
Hi, good evening, Sebe. Thank you so much for inviting me along. This is this is great to be speaking with you.
Brilliant. You have an exciting list of entrepreneurs that you've selected to be part of the mentorship program. Tell us a bit what the program is about and what it hopes to achieve.
Sure. So we are headquartered in the US, and we have Africa. Our Africa offices are in Lagos. We have an African regional lead working with us out of Lagos. And really, what we last year, in the middle of the pandemic, you know, when all businesses were struggling, trying to find their footing, when anybody's struggling in life or even in business, it's always good to sort of reach out and help other people, because we're all in this pandemic together, and we're all trying to figure it out. So as a business and as a PR agency that works with African-focused tech startups, we really wanted to do something to give back to the Africa tech ecospace, in particular to African female tech founders. We are a PR and communications agency. That's what we specialize in. So we decided to put the needs of African female tech founders, couple that with what we specialize in, which is Africa-focused tech communications, put them together, and we created the Futurist Female PR and Mentorship Program. Dedicated exclusively to African female tech founders, exclusively. Mm-hmm. Exclusively and only.
And why is that, Claudine?
Well, as you may or may not know, the tech space globally is very male dominated.
Yes.
And this is also the case in the African tech industry. It's very, very male dominated. And as a result, we know just from our work and just from discussions with our colleagues in the industry that African female tech founders often get overlooked. Mm. I'll give you some statistics. I came armed with some statistics for you. And so I have a statistic here. Let me just pull this up. So I'll give you an example, Sebe. In the first half of 2021, African startups have raised $1 billion in funding, which is up from last year, which is a huge amount, $1 billion in funding in the first half of 2021. Mm-hmm. 77% of those founders were men. Sure. And only 14% were women. And whilst it is up from last year, it's up 2% from last year for women, it still is only 14%. So that is a huge discrepancy there about, you know, with regards to the funding that African female tech founders get. Now, whilst we are a PR and communications agency, Sebe, so we're not a VC, so we're not investing. But what we can do as a PR agency is that we can show and we can help African female founders know how to tell their tech stories in a way that will gain the interest from media, gain interest from investors, and gain interest also from their audience and from their customers.
So
that's what we're here to do.
Is the issue that you've identified that female founders struggle with is that of storytelling, or might there be other issues at play here that just essentially leads them to struggle to raise the funding required?
Sure. I don't think it's really... That's a great question, Sebe. Thank you for asking that. I don't think it's really the storytelling. I just simply think that the tech industry, from its conception, is just very male-dominated, and that's just global. And, you know, representation matters. So when you've got people, and there's all kinds of people, whether it's a gender thing or a race thing, when you don't see yourself represented, you often don't think you can do it. You don't think it's a place for you. And when you have an environment that's very male-dominated, it often isn't a very welcoming or friendly place for women. Mm. And this is a global issue. It's not an Africa issue. Because if you look at the tech space in the US or the tech space in Europe or other parts of the world, it is also very male-dominated. Yep. Now, I think once you get more and more women who are involved, and again, it's not a storytelling thing. It's mainly an access thing. It's also being overlooked, because people tend to gravitate and do business with people that looks like them. And it's about breaking that. And it's about female tech founders really understanding that this is a space for you too. You too can do it. And that's why I really wanted to start this program, because I wanted to give visibility to the fact that, yes, there are African female tech founders, and they exist. I mean, last year we launched the program. That was the first year. And we had, this year, we increased our applicants by 30%. So this year we had 180 applications from 25 or 26 African countries, and we selected 25 mentees. We did that because last year we only had places for 10, but the demand was so high and the talent was so great. We were like, even though we're a small agency, we've got to choose more than 10 people. We've got to choose more than 12 people, actually. We chose in the end. So we doubled our intake to 25 because there are like so many incredible female founders to choose from. And we have selected 25 really quite brilliant African female tech founders with great ideas from 12 African countries. And one of them is South Africa. And I'm excited that you have one of our mentees, indeed, I think, coming up on the show.
Indeed.
And we've never spoken to her before. We haven't spoken or been in touch.
Perfect segue in the real world. Perfect segue,
yeah,
Claudine. Let's bring in Nxolo Fani. First and foremost, Nxolo, congratulations.
Hi, Nxolo. Congratulations.
Hi, Claudia. Thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given a lot of us. The 25 that were selected. And thank you, Sabindila, for having us online to have this chat with you.
Brilliant, Nxolo. It certainly is
welcome.
A pleasure to have you on. And great that you get to meet Claudine. Well, ahead of everybody, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing,
ahead of everybody,
right?
Else. She's definitely had a head start. Yeah. You have to keep it quiet, Nxolo.
Nxolo, tell us a bit about here you applied for this process, right? Give us a sense of the journey, and then tell us a bit about your businesses and the work that you do.
Okay, so currently I'm running a construction company, and I suppose when you guys speak of the challenges of male-dominated industry, I know that firsthand because I've been in that space for the last 8 years, but running my own company for the last 4 years. And I know the challenges that come with that. So I was very much well prepared for any challenges that might come forth. Now currently, the founder of Platform Excel, which is an edutech startup using an enhanced personalized approach and gamified robotic process automation online tools for career guidance for grade 8 to grade 12 learners in South Africa. And the app doesn't just speak to the learner, it speaks also to the parent and the teacher. Mm. And through this platform, we want to basically just create an actual bond with learners. We want to to create a very interactive online platform. We want to create a fun and engaging space where learners can go daily for aspiration, inspiration, guidance, and support. Yeah. So I think also to add to that, that's one or maybe three of the major problems that we're trying to solve, specifically in the South African climate, is the high dropout rate in high school and in university. Also inadequate or rather lack of career guidance, information and support that is not an umbrella fit for all children and speaks to an individual learner and is a personalized sort of focus on that learner, and that's what this app does or this platform does. And also just the high focus on white collar careers in South Africa. That is a huge issue because we are having a whole lot of learners that are left behind because we're just pushing the notion of every child must go to university and get a degree. When in actual fact, you need to look at bringing back vocational schools and linking up these learners to that environment and seeing that there actually are other ways to make money. And mind you, those are actually the spaces that get the economy going much faster. So that is the focus that we want to sort of bring with this online platform.
Brilliant. And when did you realize that this is an area of interest for you? Here you are in construction, but also a passion for education.
Yeah. So I think it's been forever. I mean, since I was quite young, I've always been engaging with young people on the matters of just mentorship, mainly. I was just felt that I studied, mind you, I studied multimedia and specialized in animation because I was so good at painting and drawing, and I wanted to animate things. But then when I got into industry after university, I found that that wasn't for me. And when I look back, I thought if I had the correct sort of advice and information, I might have made a different sort of decision because I actually enjoyed being out there with people. I wanted to interact with people, and that's what I do in construction. But also it's quite challenging and I like a good challenge. So I ended up there through a friend who had started a small company, and I came on board and I said, you know what, you're doing this all wrong and I want to get on board. But at the same time, my heart has always been with young people and youth. So I've been doing engagements in terms of talking at young people's engagements at high schools, etc. And with that, I suppose also with lockdown and COVID mid last year, I just had this concept that came to me and I said, you know what, I want to develop this. And I did all the research and I reached out to my mentors to say, look, yeah, I want to do this. And I just need more insight on what do I need to look at and how do I put this together, you know? And they came on board and they helped me through the process. And now I got to a point where I was like, I want to focus specifically on education because I believe that's where it all begins. We need to actually engage with learners and children from a young age on these topics because South Africa, mind you, in terms of what we're dealing with, the high unemployment rate for young people, we need to be engaging with learners from a young age and have these conversations with them and have spaces where they feel safe enough because there's also pressures in South Africa with our history with Black learners where you feel like you're the only one who's ever going to go to university and you have to go. You know, because your parents think that's the only thing that's there.
Yeah.
But through this platform, we are able to share insights and information and also through the psychometric assessment for them to know what is the best fit for you and what are the labor market statistics and information in that field so that you know as you make the decision, these are the dynamics at play. You don't just get out of high school and then into university and then you're sitting there waiting for a job to come to you. Mm-hmm. You would be well prepared. And can make well-informed decisions in that regard.
Absolutely. Claudine, let's come back to you. What makes a good mentee?
Fantastic question. First of all, let's start with the basics, and that is you'll be surprised how many we have quite a simple application form, but you'll be surprised how many people don't fill it in correctly. So it's the first thing is that you want somebody who is pays attention to detail and is meticulous in the way that they, even the, down to the very basics, is meticulous in the way that they show how meticulous they are in the way that they literally fill out the application form. That straight away lets us know this is somebody who is detail orientated because they've filled out the form correctly. And as basic as that sounds, Sebe, it's huge. You also want somebody who is passionate and somebody who is who's a go-getter, because you want somebody who sees this opportunity, who sees how important communications can be and is to the success of their startup, and somebody who's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to go for this. Because you don't know how many hundreds of people, hundreds of women specifically are entering,
yep.
But it's somebody who's going to be like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to, go against the odds, and I'm going to go for this. So it's somebody who is, at the first, because there are some people who had some great ideas, but they didn't fill out the form properly, or they didn't give us information. And when you've got hundreds to go through, a small mistake can be the difference between you being, sort of shortlisted or not.
Mm.
But, like I said, somebody who's got a great idea, somebody whose business can scale. I mean, Africa is not a country. It's a continent made of 54 countries, right? So if there's somebody who's got a great idea for their country, but it's also a great idea that can scale, we love that. Passionate, go-getters, and also somebody who has, sometimes there's on the one hand, it's like somebody who's just in this for the first time. We love that because we love to encourage people and young women who are just fresh to this industry. But also on the other end of the scale is women who are founders who have some experience as well. And maybe, because what we understand from our work as tech founders is that what could be preventing them from taking their business to the next level could be communications.
Mm-hmm.
So we do like to see female founders who do have a track record, as well as some who are just starting out.
It's also a great opportunity to network and meet potential partners from... Mm. All parts of the continent as well. Are you deliberate, Claudine, in ensuring that there's decent representation of the continent? And I mean, I'm seeing here DRC, Cameroon, a couple of Nigeria, a couple of South Africa, Tanzania. There's Egypt. There's Eswatini. Yeah. There's Guinea. So it's mm-hmm. a fantastic mix.
Yeah, we're very intent. Thank you for spotting that, Sebe. We're very, very intentional in everything that we do. And we want to make sure that, so, for example, when we raise the visibility of this program, of this mentorship program, really the first thing we think about is we work with media outlets from across the continent, whether it's radio, whether it's blogs, whether it's tech publications, but and also social media, and it's a blast. We want to reach as much of the continent as possible. So that's what we do with our visibility for the program. And of course, you're going to get some countries that have more entrants than others. You always get tons of Nigerians who enter the program.
Yes.
You always export. I mean, our Africa regional lead, who's David Idagu, who is tuning in, I'm sure, from Lagos right now. He is based in Lagos. He's Nigerian, and he is him and another member of our team, Tope. They go through the list based on a very strict criteria, first of all,
mm-hmm.
and they shortlist. A certain number of candidates ahead of us, the judges, having a look at them. And they're both Nigerian. And I tell both of them, do not give me a list full of Nigerians. We want to make sure that we have the best candidates from across the continent. But we also want to make sure that we are selecting female tech founders from across the continent as well. So last year and this year, we always get a lot of Nigerians, a lot of Kenyans applying. But what we loved about this year, Sebe, is that we increased the countries covered from 6 to 12. So new countries that are represented this year, we had Senegal, DRC,
mm-hmm.
Cameroon, Guinea, Egypt, as you mentioned. And it's just fantastic because really, our mission and our vision with this program is to grow. is to grow it from, we had 12 mentees last year, we have 25 this year, we hope to get more next year. We're speaking with potential partners and corporations that will help us scale this program, so that whilst now it is a PR and communications program, it ends up being a PR and communications mentorship program and much more. But it's always going to be dedicated to African female tech founders. And we're always going to make it a complementary program, because we don't want there to be any barriers to entry for anybody. We don't want anybody to say they can't afford to enter. We want there to be, we want it to be the best of the best, and regardless of their current resources or situation. So that we're very intentional about that.
Nicola, what are you most looking forward to from this program that you're about to embark on? And perhaps if you could reflect for us on the impact of this pandemic that we're still very much in, as a globe, part of the world, perhaps a lot further ahead in terms of figuring out how to try and get back to some semblance of normalcy. This is South Africa, we're still very far away from that. So how have you thought about the work that you do, your business, the work in the education space, but also on how to continue to improve as a professional, as an entrepreneur?
Okay. Well, in regards to what I'm looking forward to, basically, I'm sort of getting from this program, is learning insights, you know, into the fundamentals of PR and communication for tech startups. Because for me, this is the first time I'm doing this, and how to they speak to how to create a communications plan for investment and press coverage, and how to incorporate storytelling into your business. And also just the angle that you spoke to in regards to networking. That's huge, because that's one thing I've learned over the years as a young businesswoman, that the networking actually does work. And it's so impactful in regards to building relationships with the people that you do network with. And you need to build those relationships and have them going. And because right now with this idea, I mean, I literally tapped into people that I met in 2018, but had kept sort of the lines of communication open with them. And I realized as I went through this that actually their input would be so significant in helping me through this process. And so that's a key thing also for me. And also then when you speak to COVID and the dynamics in South Africa that we're facing, in the sense that how we were able to see so clearly in terms of the gap, in terms of poverty lines in South Africa, and how you find that now the learners that are going to school in your more poverty-stricken areas are basically just losing out on this year and last year, because they can't go to school, there's lockdown, and then your more private schools are more equipped for sort of digital online learning, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's something that I looked into quite a lot. And I remember actually reading a World Economic Forum report, which spoke to these dynamics in terms of the fourth industrial revolution, and how, mind you, the report there and the countries that were featured there as being ready for the fourth industrial revolution, there was no African country that was there. And that for me spoke volumes, because then I could see it in South Africa that these insights were actually real. Especially where I'm living as a South African. So I said to myself, okay, fine. We need to create these digital or online platforms, but at the same time sort of engage with, which is what I've been doing, engage with organizations that I can't now sort of name them, but organizations or big companies that are already in that space and sort of feeding into that space in terms of money, and helping these schools get like laptops and devices for learners, and then sort of pair up with those companies and say, okay, since you've got 3,000, for example, schools that in South Africa you're already working with, and you've provided devices, digital sort of devices for these schools and these teachers, how about we pair up and then we can sort of have access to those schools and start there, right? Because unfortunately, we're not going to be able to work with schools that don't have that yet. But the platform is also available on cell phones, smartphones, right? So more learners will be able to access it through that. But as we begin this journey, we are looking at those dynamics and saying, how can we pair up and partner and work with companies that are already doing that so that we have a further reach, right? And then the other thing that I'd like to speak to in regards to the COVID situation is that what we're also trying to do is be on the ground. So a week ago, we went to our first school and not just be online. So we want to interact. We went to a school and we interacted with the learners from grade 8 to grade 12 and wanted to get their headspace. Where are they at? How can we build this online platform so that it speaks to them? Because you don't want to also sit there and create a solution without engaging with who's going to be using the online platform.
Yeah.
So we're engaging with them, asking them the questions on what do they need? What will make them interact with the platform and use it every single day? And it will actually create impact on the ground. And on top of that also, we are specifically not sort of looking to engage with learners and parents to get on the platform. We are working to work with schools specifically. So we get a school and we say, okay, we've got this platform that will be an additional support tool for career guidance for your learners grade 8 to grade 12. And this is what it offers for your learners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the school takes it on, and it means now all the learners from grade 8 up until grade 12 get registered on that platform. So the more schools we can reach, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at, yes, the issues of COVID and poverty in South Africa and high unemployment rate. And we have to start somewhere. And that's where we are starting, with the schools that do have access to that and the learners that do have access to that. But we intend, as a vision for the company, to grow this platform and work with these other bigger organizations to have a further and larger reach in the country.
Mm-hmm. My guests this evening are Claudine Moore, who is a global public relations and corporate communications and new business consultant, and is also the founder of Seymour Media, who in fact are running this this mentorship program that Noxolo Fani, who you just heard a moment ago, is a part of, has just been selected to be a part of, along with 24 other African women who are tech founders or founders of tech startups as well on the continent. And Noxolo is CEO of PL Construction, as well as the founder of Platform Excel. And we're talking about this mentorship program as part of our Women's Day conversations here on Power Perspective on 0861 987 000. That's where you can in fact give us a ring. Claudine, it would be great in just a moment to speak to the sort of I suppose from your own experience, right, your own lessons, your global experience on what women leading should or can in fact bring into an industry or into a sector broadly, because part of changing or transforming male dominated industries isn't only about numbers. Yes, it is, you know, the numbers aspect, being able to quantify the changes is important, but what else do women leading bring to sectors, to industry, that you believe is quite key, in addition to there being, whether it's equal numbers or even more in some instances?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. I think we bring everything they bring and more. So everything they bring, we bring that. And the additional thing is, I think one of the biggest things that is so important in business but often overlooked is emotional intelligence. Mm. And emotional intelligence is not something you can read about in a book. I think a lot of emotional intelligence is instinctive. And I think not only is it instinctive, But as you get older and wiser, when you learn more, you gain more experience. If you're paying attention, you will sharpen that. So I think there's the old saying that we talk about women's intuition. I think women's intuition is also what we call now emotional intelligence. And I think that is something that we as women, we've owned since the beginning of time, when you can apply it in different areas. But when it comes to the area of business in general, not just tech, but business in general, Sebe, I think that the women's intuition, when you apply it in a business context, it becomes heightened and very elevated emotional intelligence. And that's just something that we have in abundance. Sorry, guys, but that's just hashtag facts, as they say. Hashtag facts, right? So there you go.
Absolutely. All right. There was a quick question, and Nxolo directed to you. While we bring that up, and that will be the final point, Claudine. What's next? Like at high level, what are the 25 mentees about to encounter?
Oh yeah. So what do we have in store for the 25 mentees? So we have two group masterclasses. That will start off the program. And the masterclasses will be with our partners. We have partners this year. We have Africa Communications Week. They're one of our partners. And hot off the press, I can give Power FM an exclusive because we haven't publicly announced it. But as I'm on the phone with you, I'll announce it now. Tech Cabal, which is a leading tech publication, Africa tech focused publication, mm-hmm. They've just come on board. Like the ink is literally drying right now as we speak. They've come on board as our partners. What does this mean for the program? Yeah. So what it means is the first two masterclasses are going to be hosted by myself and the co-founders of Africa Communications Week. And so basically we'll be bringing to them the nuts and bolts of communications, ranging from how you position your business, how you position you as a female founder, how you introduce storytelling into your business, and the value of personal branding in your business. And also how you speak to your different stakeholders, whether they're media, whether they're investors, whether they're your customers. You don't speak to them in the same way. So that's mm-hmm. the first masterclass. Mm-hmm. The second masterclass will be hosted by Tech Cabal, and Tech Cabal will really be speaking about how do you tell your story to tech media, right? How do you, we are the media, the editor in chief, Karoma, will be leading that masterclass, and she'll be speaking about how, you know, we're a tech media outlet. We're going to tell you what we're looking for. We're going to tell you who are some of the other great women in the space, great African women who are where you want to be and how you can get there from a media and visibility perspective. Those are the two first masterclasses. Then after that, we will have customized sessions, 3 one-hour customized sessions with the Futurist Female mentees. And they will be customized for the specific startup. And there'll be one masterclass will be for an hour. One of them will be in October. Another one will be in November, and another one in December. So really, in total, they'll be having 5 sessions with us, with industry experts from around the globe.
Fantastic. It's such an exciting program. Really looking forward to hear from the mentees at the end of the process and the many more that will mm-hmm. come as part of different cohorts in the future. Claudine, appreciate you joining us this evening on Power Perspective. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
And then, Carlo, I'll see you next month. And Carlo.
What's it, Claudine?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
thank you, Claudine Moore there, who is the founder of See More Media. Last one for you, Nxolo. We have Xoli on the line from The Vow with a quick question for you. Xoli, hi, go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot, Alcidi. I would like just to appreciate Ms. Nxolo based on the education plan. Yeah, in our side, in the valley, we are also having the same plan, but which is differ a little bit because the main thing which we would like just to avoid is the dropout students. So we are planning to get the finance from certain different companies to help students because we believe that what you call NEFSAS is not enough money to help some certain students. So we like the idea of Ms. Nokol. We like just maybe to meet her in future just to discuss more based on education.
Yeah, sure. would absolutely love to. I mean, what we want to do through Platinum Excel is to create confidence and aspiration at an individual level for each learner, right? And we want to create transformation also at a system level by creating opportunities for the child of a farm worker, a child mind or a domestic worker, you know, already in the social care network, receiving a child care grant, and will probably be getting an NFS funding for university purposes. And we also want to unlock drivers of efficiency through Platform Excel so that learners pick up the right profession and go there with adequate support in Excel. The worst thing that can happen is to get an NSFIS funding, which is what's happening, and then fail coming from a disadvantaged background, you know. So we want to provide that support for the learner, for the teacher, and also for the parents, so that it's a 360 view that incorporates all the elements that are important, especially given our history as a country. So I'd love to engage with you some more and see how, we can have that conversation.
Brilliant. And then we've got Lolo on the line from Rockville. Hello, Lolo.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right, thanks. Nokolo, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Max. You know, I want to ask about introducing this 4IR at lower levels instead of at grade 11, grade 12 level. It's already late, yeah?
So the program is for grade 8 to grade 12.
Grade 12, yes, because
8 to 12.
Grade 12, they have these tablets which they use. And then again, on your career guidance, you know this dropout rate is as a result of kids studying what they don't like.
Yes.
And then our subjects have been determined in such a way that they are so streamlined and they can't, you know. For example, if you were to introduce drama, performance, music, under arts and culture, fashion industry, you've got designers. Identifying them very early so that it keeps them in school. They don't get bored. Thank you.
I fully agree with you there. And I mean, that is part and parcel of what we want to do through the platform. Because you must remember that each learner, when they register in grade 8 or grade 9 or grade 10, whichever level they are when the online platform launches, they go through a registration process where there's actually a psychometric assessment that they take. And then there's a report that sort of feeds back to them and says, okay, these are the types of industries you would best fit into, you know, or these are the options that you should look into. And then it is for the learner to choose one of those. And then the platform then feeds information that speaks to that learner at that level. And I mean, it's a journey also. The learner can change after a year and say, okay, I don't think this is the best fit for me. You know, I want to consider something else because the marks that I need to acquire, because the app also speaks to that. You would need to take these subjects and you would need to acquire these types of marks if you want to study further post-matric. And also then for the learner that isn't built for university or to go and study for some degree for 4 years, there's vocational schools and there's linkages to industry on the online platform. So the student or the learner will get that information that speaks to them, that this is the industry that would best fit you. What would you want to do there? These are the options. And then these are the linkages to industry through holiday school programs, etc. We'll be linking up with these organizations and companies or private sector for that. So it covers quite, especially also support, because that's a big thing that I think needs to be looked at. So we've got what you call a mood button on the app where a learner can select a mood button on a daily and say, today I'm feeling anxious.
Nice.
Or I'm feeling suicidal, you know. And then the app feeds back, whether it's inspirational quotes and also information on social services that are available close to the student, because it would know the school that the student is going to. It means in this area there are social services that are available, and there's also hotline numbers that you can call. These are the numbers that you can call. You don't need airtime to call these numbers, so that you can speak to someone, because we need to consider our climate in South Africa and the fact that a lot of our learners, which are in the poverty-stricken areas, they have pressures that they are facing when they make these decisions. Where at home, they're saying, we are counting on you. You know, if you don't make it, we all will go hungry. If you don't pass in university, and by that time that the child gets to grade 12, well, maybe they make the wrong choice. And because they haven't gotten sufficient guidance and support to make the right decision. So we need to look at all those things, and that's what we're incorporating into this online platform, so that it speaks to that.
Brilliant.
And it makes an impact on the ground on these learners.
Exciting stuff, Anokolo. Mm. That's where we'll leave it, and we hope we speak to you again at the end of this process as well. We'd love to know what you've learned from it and what comes from it. Congratulations again, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Take care.
Thank you, Nokolo Fani there, who is the CEO of PL Construction, as well as the founder of Platform Excel. And as we said, there's been chosen to be part of the Seymour Media Mentorship Program for tech female founders, tech female owned run startups as well, along with several other African women. Very exciting indeed. And as I said, we do hope to have Nokolo back in, if we can have them in studio at some point, that would be great, but back on the show at some point as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.